Sunday gaf Rav Cheshvan Rabbi Gershon Hager Shiduchim.
It's only realized late last night, this morning I'm speaking, I'm still in the middle of Shalshidus Torah. Let me tell you what I said over Shalshidus, and then we'll carry on from there. The one place the Torah speaks, Ba'arichas, about Shiduchim, is in Parshas Chayesorah. Between Shlishi and Shishi, it goes into every detail of the Shiduch of Yitzchak and Rivka. It struck me once that the Gemalim appear between Shlishi and Shishi a lot of times. So yesterday I counted, and I looked in the concordance as well. It appears that there are, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, 28 times that we find Gemalim mentioned. Once in Parshas in Sefer Shmos, once in Sefer Vayikra, once in Sefer Dvarim, 25 times in Sefer Bereishis, but Midbar doesn't get a look in apparently, and of the 25 times in Sefer Bereishis, 17 times we find Gemalim mentioned between Shlishi and Shishi in Parshas Chayesorah. There's a grace of Mechatonim here in the Shidduch. And I always wondered what was the significance of the Gemalim. And yesterday afternoon, I came across a Kleyoka, and the Kleyoka touches on it, and he says, I remember this is, I suppose, one of the things one can learn from this parasha. Eliezer was supposed to look for a kala for Yitzchak. What does one look for? So, the Yoke says it's quite clear. Rashi says already. Says Oisah Chachtel Abdechol Yitzchak. So Rashi says Ruya he loy shetei gemeles chasodim. That the kala that Bemis would be right for Yitzchak would be a kala would be she's gemeles chasodim. Yifai says Al Sad Haremez his kigmalecho loshin gemeles chesed. We find there's a medrash Tanchuma. Es hagomol zubavol shenem es gemuleich shegomalt lonu. We say in Shemoneh Esrei, goyim l'chasodim tovim. The version is goyim l'chasodim tovim, and it's for us to follow in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel, to try to be masig his midas. And he says this for Rivka, when it says she said v'gam gemulecho ashke simona milsehi. She kolkach yoheves midas gemilas chasodim. She gemilas chasodim was so important to her. Ada she yoheves kol hanikra b'shei midazu. Kized avativi. And therefore, the gomel, which in a way indicates this midah of gemilas chasodim, was to her something important. Chazal say about the chasida. Why is it called the chasida? It's always looking after its chavatus. Although Chazal say it's a leif tome, because it only looks after its own immediate chavatus, doesn't look after any other creatures. Al kein ein rochak lefarish gam kemil as gomel ki ulai tivam ligmol chesed ze leze, or maybe more. We have the gomel that it's does chesed, one gomel does chesed with another. Al kein teisebem ahav abam gam gomelech ashke, kis a simon she yoheves midas gomelech chesed. He says, Chazal say, this is the opposite of Ephraim. Ephraim says, matria avav ayin ra, that a kala she eineho yofes, she's got nice eyes, ein kol gufa tzicha b'dika. What does Chazal mean by that? So the Kliyoka says a girl who has an eye in Tov, she, everything she sees positively. And she tries to do, to be goyim chesed with other people, you don't have to worry about anything else. Because, says the Kli Yoker, you should know that that is emineo yofer babrius, as the suffix shlema mechalamidus. Is that lechera is the significance of the gemalim in this parasha, that whenever one looks for a shidduch, that the most important thing is midus. And that's what the Torah Kodesh is telling us here. So let me, before I mention one or two other eitzes that we see, that the Mefarshim learnt from this parasha, let me just mention one or two halachas which are negeh to shidduchim. Eliezer was a shliach of Avraham. So it's clear, I mean, he was looked after, he was paid by Avraham for whatever he did. No question that he was an employee in his household, that whatever he did, that was something that there would be schar for. The world says, the same for the Maril, Marilas Avi called Milag Ashkenaz, that the Maril would only use shidduch money. He was a shadchan. He held that was kosher gilt, kosher money. And for his expenses, he would always use that money. From that, lechaira emanates a mistake, which the Pischachiva brings down in Choshe Mishpat, that people say would say, if a shadchan says, look, I'm coming to suggest a shidduch for your son, for your daughter, and it's l'shem shemayim. And then afterwards he changes his mind, or whatever you feel, says, you must pay for it, you must pay shadchanus. So it's not true. There's no such thing. There's no difference between shadchanus and anything else. If the person who comes and says, he says clearly, I'm not taking any money for this, you can take him at his word, you have no chiv whatsoever to pay him. But if you're a mensch, you want to sort of show appreciation for somebody, somebody does something for you, fine. But there's no chiv whatsoever for you to pay. However, where else don't you have to pay? There is a nesivus, a siman yud beis in Choshen Mishpat. And basically what the nesivus says in a few words is, if somebody wants to do another person a good turn, and he has in mind that he's doing this, and he has absolutely no intention of taking any money for this, then it could be nobody else knows about this. He never said anything to that person. But that was basically his intention. When he started off, he has no right to ask for money. Because it's as if he's the time, the effort, whatever he's doing, he's basically given as a matono. Whatever you're going to do in the future, you can decide, I'm going to take money for. But whatever you have already done, having previously had in mind that you're not going to ask for any payment for this, clearly not having it was clear in your mind, you're not going to ask any payment for this, you want to do this as a taiva, then you have no right to ask for money for it. And it could be that when you started doing this, you're a good friend of the fellow. During the course of time, you fell out. You no longer feel the same way about him. You never told him a word about your intentions. Doesn't matter. Normally we say, Dvorim Shebelev Einam Dvorim. Not in such a case. When you can... The opposite, says it, see, this is true. If you had... done something, somebody, you've done something already for somebody, you're going to take money, and then you decided, having done that in your own mind, I'm not going to take any money for it. I'm not going to. And then this fellow, somewhere or other, he does something which upsets you, then you can take money. Because that, then we say, Dvorim Shebelev Veinom Dvorim. You'd done something, you were owed money, and Agav, we point out that there is a Ramah in Simon Reish Samach Dalad, It applies not only to Shidduchim, it applies to all sorts of things. The Rama says, Kol Adam she'oseim chaveiroi pe'ula aitayva la yuchal loyma bechinam asise modi hayl v'leitzi v'sicha en atzorach litin leischaroi. Somebody does you a taiva, don't really mention a word about money. Somebody does you a taiva, he has a right to ask for money for it. You can't say to him, I never told you to do this. When you actually were on the receiving end, you have a right, the person who did that taiva has a right to ask for money for it. Whatever pula, whatever taiva a person does. So certainly, a person, he suggested a girl for your son, or whatever it is, whatever it was, he did you a taiva, without any mention of money at all, you are, there's no question that you are mechuyev to pay it. He can be mechuyev. So then, Siva says, if, Emes, this fellow did you a good deed, he was going to take money. And then he decided, it was after, everything had been done already, everything, he'd done the taiva, and he decided, you know, I'm not going to take any money for it. And then something happens and you fall out with this fellow. You never told him that you're not going to take any money. You in your own mind had been moichel him, that you're not going to ask for the money for what you have done. But now you've changed your mind, But when you started off, you decided in your own mind, I'm not going to take any money for whatever, for what I'm going to do now for this person. Then, until you change your mind, whatever you've done until you change your mind, you can't ask any money for it. That, you've given that as a matana. The effort, the time, and so on, while you were doing it, this was with the intention of not taking any money for that. Although he doesn't even know anything about it, we don't say, don't you believe in him there. We say, no, you decided to give this to this person. Say that it's given. You can't ask money now for what you had done with that intention. So you have another case where the Shadchan can't ask for money. That was when he actually intended in his own mind not to ask for any money from the word go. He has no right to ask for money then, because he'd given that to you as a matana. It could be that sometime along, the shidduch hasn't taken place yet, he'd started, but until now, and now he changes his mind, and he's still involved, and he's doing things, he can ask for money from after, from when he changes, it's not finished. So what he's going to do now, he can ask for money for. What he's done till now, he'd been moichel when he started. He can ask any money for that. There is a difference sometimes between shadchanim. Eliezer, I said, was straightforward shadchan. He'd been employed by Ravina, he was employed for everything, but certainly he was asked to go and find a shidduch for Yitzchak. That's a straightforward poil. Whereas if I ask somebody to do something for me, he's working for me. So there's certain standards, certain amount of money, which would be understood that this person would receive for doing this sort of work. That's a straightforward boil. You never asked this person to do anything for you. He came, he rang you up, and he suggested a shidduch for your son. Out of the blue. You may not know him. Doesn't matter whether you know him or you don't know him. But he suggested a shidduch. You think about it. Talk it over with your wife, and so on. You don't go back to him. You go into it, and it sounds something right and good, and eventually you break a plate. This fellow, who suggested the shidduch, then rings you up, and he says, "I was the matziah and the shadchan. Didn't do a thing. Just rang you up and he told you about the existence of this particular girl, this particular family. He's a shadchan. He's not the same as number one. If you employ somebody to be a shadchan for you, he's a poil. If you don't employ somebody to be a shadchan, but he does this for you out of his own And just suggesting that already puts, he's doing something. He put this idea in your mind and you took it up. He gave you information, and he gave information with a tachlis. He was suggesting to you that you should do this and this act, and you did it. Then he has a right to ask for money for that, even though you did everything else yourself afterwards. The hatzo itself came from him, but there'll be this difference. He's what's called a yeri b'seich sada shel chaveri. What I says we'll see here. If I go to somebody else's field, it's a field which he wants to plant, and I plant it. You may not know me from Adam, but I plant, plants that he wants to plant it, and I get in first, and I plant there, and it works. I mean, they grow. I have a right to ask for money from that person. I did him a tova without being asked, but I did him a tova. He was anyway. He wanted to plant that field. I planted it for him. I'm not a poil. I'm a yeri b'seich sada shel chaveri. That means, for example, there's no b'yomitit in Schorai or Baltolin doesn't exist by him. He's not something I employ to do something, but the fellow owes me money for the tova I did for him. Now, if winner would be, let's say there's a certain, there are two scales for shalchonim. There's those who say, no, they thought it was dollars. $1,500 is that's the better class shalchon. He won't take anything less than that. There's $1,000 a face for the, that's, you know, subbet. That's the, they're not quite the same. If I employ somebody, he says, look, you can ask anybody. This is what I take $1,500 for a shidduch. Okay, that's what he gets. That's what you have to give him. You never employed him. He, out of the blue, he suggested something for you. Even though you did everything yourself afterwards, doesn't matter. He is the shadchan. There was nobody else involved. Just the shadchan. And then the parties between themselves carried on. He's a yob sechsed ha-shadosh ha-chavera. And that means, he may say, I'll say, look, okay, I accept, I have to pay you. I'll pay you $1,000. He says, no, I know what sort of shadchan I am. I'm the $1,500, not the $1,000. So look, I can get a shadchan for $1,000. I don't need to employ a shadchan for $1,500. I didn't ask you. You came and suggested your services, out of the blue. Fine. But I didn't need you. I could have taken somebody else, which would have been cheaper. I have a right to do that. I have to pay. But I can say, I could have done that. I didn't need your sort of shadchan. I could have had a shadchan, but it would cost me less. When I go to somebody and I employ him, and if this is the way he works, I mean, this is, he always gets 1500, yeah. I've employed this person as a poil, this is the rate that he always gets. The other fellow, he's also the rate he always gets. But I don't, I say to him, I didn't ask you. You suggested it, fine. Taka took it up, but not on the understanding I have to pay $1,500, I didn't employ you. And if I would have employed somebody, I would have looked for somebody who would only cost me $1,000, not $1,500. That's the difference between the two shadchanim. A shadchan who I employ, a shadchan who I don't employ. It could be the fellow who basically, who rang you up out of the blue, he suggested the shidduch, and you know the family, you've heard the family, so you do something yourself, but it's not quite working. You go back to him, say, look, we talked, but perhaps you can sort of get involved. Oh, that's different. Then you've basically employed him as a poil. In other words, if you go back to him and say, I'd like you to, yes, please carry it on, do this, do that, so on, that's different. Then he can say, and that right from the beginning. He's a poil. It's not a Yom Sochsi. Although he initially you didn't go to him, but it doesn't matter if he didn't initially go to him. Lamaisa, you've taken him now and you're employing him. And if you're employing him to do some work, then if his rate is 1500, then his rate is 1500. He didn't do any work at all. He just suggested it. You did everything. You didn't ask him. He's not a poil. He's your observer, not your favorite. And then you can say to him, look, there are people who take less money than that, and I didn't need your status. I'm not paying you 1500. I'm paying you only 1,000. There is a famous Pesach Teshuva, again in being down from Shev Yaakov, that What happens if there are more than one Ishakun involved? So how do you work it out? What do you do? Somebody comes along, suggests a name. And very often this happens. We suggest it, and you did start, you didn't start, nothing happened. A year later, somebody else comes along, same name, and you remember, yeah, and it sounded quite good. For some reason, I don't know quite at the time, it wasn't, you take up the suggestion number two, and, Baruch Hashem again, then you break a plate. After you break the plates in the newspapers, number one rings up, says, Ravid, Ibn Chlashadchun. I said, but Yenna was Shadchun. He said, Ibn Chlashadchun, And the Emirates said, it's true. So what do you do in such a case? So the Paschim say the following. Emirates, there's a Chirastira. The Gemara tells us that when the Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, and what did they do? Moshe Rabbeinu went, he looked for the Atzmos Yosef and took them out. Later on in Sefer Yeshua, the Pasuk talks about Atzmos Yosef Asher Helu Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim B'Kavro B'Shem. Talk about the Klal Yisrael, not Moshe Rabbeinu at all. The Klal Yisrael, they took the bones of Yosef, took them to Yisrael and buried them in Shem. Well, why is Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned here at all? So I'll say the following. If you start a mitzvah, you don't finish it. Suppose you ought to be a finish. You didn't finish it. And somebody else finishes it instead of you. It's Nikra Shem Gomroy. He finished it. And I said they did it. The Bnei Yisrael, they were the ones who buried. They took. The Maisa, he was buried. Wasn't buried by Yosef. So we don't talk about Moshe. We look at the people who actually finished off the thing. That's one Soter. Chazal tell us, Mizmashiach Hanukkah Sabayis Ledovit. Beis HaMikdash is called Mizmashiach Hanukkah Demamachanech Bayis Ledovit. What's Dovit? Dovit wasn't around anymore. Shlomo HaMelech called the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it called? Well, after David, he had the thought, he put all the effort in, he saw, he looked for the right place where his bear should stand and so on. All the groundwork was, so to speak, done by David HaMelech. Leistayim also, for whatever reason, David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build the Mishnah, it was left for Shlomo. But Chmiz B'Sheikh Yilkos B'Aish to David, he put everything to show that the place where it should be and so on, is called after David HaMelech. I in a mitzvah nikra l'ashem goimroi. Why is David HaMelech? He cared. He didn't lay a brick, as far as I'm aware. Why is it called Bais L'Dovid? Bais L'Shlomo. And he wanted. He started. The Gemara says, if you don't finish it, the mitzvah nikra l'ashem goimroi. That's the kasha they ask. So the Bemis the Shev Yaakov says there. A mitzvah which would have been that Moshe Rabbeinu started, took the bones of Yosef. But it says the pshat is like this: everybody else was busy taking rechush and so on. But if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have taken out of Yosef, the Kohen would have got together, would have taken it. And they actually did finish off the thing. So for that reason, as far as the Atzmos Yosef is concerned, in Pasuk Yeshua says the Kohen did it. We don't mention Moshe Rabbeinu; he didn't finish. If David HaMelech wouldn't have put himself into this business of looking for the right place where the Samikla should be and so on, who knows? It might be, just like Shaul HaMelech. Apparently doesn't say anything, Shaul HaMelech was involved in it. We might have gone on generations, nothing would happen. Shlomo might not have built it. Emela, here the Maschil was very important. Emes, he didn't finish. But without that Maschil, there would never be a Gemara. He was a maschil which he started off, and okay, after it went, he has a right. So maybe the Paschim say the following, that the maschil gets a third of the shadchanim. The goyma, we give him two thirds. If there are three shadchanim, it could be sometimes number one, there's number two in the middle, there's number three, and they were all involved, and without any one of them, it probably wouldn't have happened, so we divide it into three. A third to the maschil, a third to the emtsoi, a third to the goyma. That's as far as halachas to do in Shulchanos today. Let me just mention two things very quickly. One is an amazing Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, if you look in the parasha, you will see that Eliezer changed his conditions. Eliezer davens, he's standing outside town, and he says, you know, he's waiting for a girl, and he asks Rav Reina Shleilam, I'll be standing there, and the girl says, Hati no chadech ve'eshte, v'amrash seved amgolech ashke, oysa achach to lavdech v'yitzchot. He says, the girl who will, I will say to her, bend, tilt your pitcher, and I will drink from that. And she'll say, drink, and I'll give also your gmanim to drink. That's the goal. When it comes to it, he didn't do that. He changed his tune. He says there that when he sees Rivka, he says, Hagemini no matmai mekadech, let me sip a little bit from your... He didn't ask her to tilt the pitcher. He says, Alka, please allow me just take a sip from it. She says, Shsei Adoni. He says, why this change? I mean, it was clear what he'd asked for. He said, I'll ask her, please, you know, tilt the pitcher and let me drink. And he comes to it and he says, it's allow me a sip. She said, Eliezer saw it was working. This was going. He saw the mime, the water was coming up to meet her. He saw Ness. He had a feeling somehow, this is the right girl. He was afraid he put a spanner in the works. The Torah is telling us the following. Eliezer was mamayit in his noim. You come along, you have certain demands. I've seen gate. If you see this year, somehow it seems to, it's working, it's going, it's moving. Take it easy, be careful. Don't insist, everything you know, by you were snoim, clear things, that these are things that we were going to demand from the other side. If it's really working and it's going, you can muck it up. Maybe you're not supposed to have all those conditions. So if it's working, yeah, work together with Rabbeinu Shleilam. But don't be so insistent on what you were at right at the beginning. Before, he was asking her to give him to drink. Now he was only asking her to allow him to sip. That's one hanhoga. There's another thing I once saw from Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Also, it's an amazing, if you look at it. And he had Kvitzas HaDerech. One day he was there, a few hours. You know, a few hours, one time, I saw one of the boys, 3 hours, or was mamish, was nothing. He would feed to Saderech. He sees the water coming up to her. He sees this girl, what does she do? She's giving him, she's doing everything and more. And you can imagine this young girl drawing water for all these gemalim. She kept, and whatever she said, she kept, she did everything. You know, you couldn't see clearer, this is a zivik min hashamayim. What happens towards the end? He comes and he meets Lavan and Besuel. They sit down together and he says, you know, let's now talk terms. Vato. Im yeshchem oisim chesed ve'em es adoini, hagiduli. Ve'em loi, hagiduli. Ve'efne al yomin oil smoke. So just tell me. If this is fine, okay, so, right, we've got a shidduch. If not, tell me. And I'll turn al yomin oil smoke. What does Rashi say? Al yomin b'bnais yishmoil. Al small bimnes light. What are we talking about? This is the girl. There's no question. I mean, ala simonim yuchnisim gluyim. You saw, it was clear. I knew Avraham Avinu says God will send a malach in front of you to help you. Everything went for him. It couldn't have been could be clearer than that. What's he talking about? And if you say, you know, say no, okay. Elamah, Torah is telling you, he was saying nisim gluim. Everything. This is, a boy can sometimes, as a boy, it's the family, this is the girl. I mean, this is the girl, there's no other girl in the world. This is the right shiva, absolutely. The last minute, face the prospective fear turns around and says, look, David, this is not for us, you're not for us. It isn't. And the boy walks out, shatters. So Brachim, I mean, he says, this was it. This was it. I mean, the shidduch, it couldn't be clearer. What does the Torah tell you? Eliezer said, look, I saw Nisim, everything, fine. But if you say no, you know, it's not the end of the world. There are other girls in the world. I never know. You don't really know. You've seen everything, but you don't actually know. You don't actually know what the Boshem has in store for you, what he wants you, what is right for you. So when everything, la'achar ha'koil, but at the last moment, you're told by the other side, sorry, not for us. So, you know, don't, you have to be broken. Okay, say that. That's till now, these simonim of Shemaim, Well, so for some reason or other, this is not meant for me. Okay, Seder, do not melech of the world. There's still the other, you know, I'm min, I'm small. It's not as if this was the only person. That's another of the lessons we can learn from this parasha. Thank you.